comes to probing Jupiter's ocean. For the past year, I've been a prime research specimen at Cellini University on the moon.
Oh.
Corvus's face lit up with understanding. Being half mechanical, you might be able to take the pressures of a deep dive better. Is that it?
Something like that.
Humans haven't gone down into the Jovian Ocean in 20 years, Deirdre said. They tried 2 crewed dives, and both were disasters.
Still, said Dorne, the scientists would like to go deep enough into the ocean to observe the Leviathans.
They send automated probes down deep, Corvus said. Dorne nodded.
Now they want to send people.
But why? Asked Deirdre. It's so dangerous. And the robot probes can do anything people can do, can't they?
Corvus shook his head. They can do everything except react to the unexpected, Dee.
The robots can only answer the questions that we know how to ask before they go into the water. You can't program a computer to handle unexpected situations.
You can link human controllers, she pointed out. Have them in charge in real time so that...
Dorne interrupted her.
As I understand it, the probes must go so deep into the ocean that they can't maintain contact with the orbiting station. Electronic signals can't penetrate the depth of water. Not even laser beams can get through.
Deirdre said, Oh, so that's why they want to send humans again.
Both men nodded.
But it's so dangerous, Deirdre exclaimed. Who would want to go down there?
I would,
Corvus answered, without a microsecond's hesitation. Deirdre looked aghast at the idea.
Why would you...
To make contact with the Leviathans,
Corvus said before she could finish her question.
Using DBS?
Dorne asked. Bobbing his head again, Corvus said, It's a variation of the deep brain stimulation concept. You can link your brain to the brain of another person. It was originally developed for the intelligence services and police. You know, you can probe a person's brain, pull out everything he knows, whether he likes it or not.
Is that legal?
Deirdre wondered. Ignoring her question, Corvus went on, fairly twitching with growing enthusiasm.
Well, back at the University of Rome, our professor got the idea of linking with non-human animals. Great for biological studies. Ecological, too.
You can experience what an antelope or a lion experiences. See the world the way they see it. We started out with elephants, then chimpanzees. The anthropologists went crazy over it.
I can imagine,
Dorne muttered.
No, seriously,
Corvus said eagerly. I was one of Professor Carbo's best students. I could link more easily than any of the others. I was an elephant out in the Serengeti for a solid week. Deirdre giggled.
I hope it wasn't mating season.
Looking almost hurt, Corvus said,
This is the only way we're going to make any meaningful contact with the Leviathans. Using neuro-optronic probes to link our brains with theirs.
Assuming the Leviathans have brains,
Dorne said.
They've got to. Critters that big? They've got to have a central nervous system with a brain to direct those enormous bodies.
Dorne shook his head slightly.
You're assuming that Jovian biology works on the same principles as our own. We have no way of knowing that's true.
Wrong. Corvus snapped. We've studied those living balloons that float through the Jovian atmosphere and some of the other airborne creatures. They all have brains.
Do you intend to try to link with them before you try to reach the Leviathans?
I sure do.
Deirdre put a hand on Corvus's arm.
Andy, does that mean you'll have the linking equipment implanted in your own brain?
Doesn't have to be implanted.
Corvus said. Tapping his temple, he explained.
You just fit the sensors on your head like a crown.
But how will you fit the sensors on the Leviathans?
she asked. Corvus's enthusiasm wavered the slightest bit.
Well, we'll have to be close enough to one of them so we can attach a sensor rig to its hide.
Like harpooning a whale?
Sort of. Shades of Moby Dick,
Dorn muttered. And you intend to go down into the ocean and do this yourself? Deirdre asked.
Corvus nodded. Yep, sure do.
The three of them looked at each other, none of them knowing what to say next.
Dinner is served in the main dining room,
announced the ship's intercom through the speakers set into the lounges overhead.
Main lounge.
Dinner!
Corvus fairly leaped to his feet.
Let's go. I'm starving.
Deirdre felt relieved as she pushed her chair away from the cocktail table. She felt uncomfortable about Andy's blithe willingness to immerse himself in the dark depths of the Jovian Ocean and connect his brain to an optronic stimulator system. And my other companion is a cyborg, she said to herself. I sure can pick 'em. Dorn got to his feet, too, and the three of them joined the others heading for the dining room. Before they went a dozen steps, though, a burly, shaggy man in a tan one-piece coverall strode up to them and took Deirdre's wrist in his thick-fingered hand.
You've got to be the most beautiful woman aboard this ship, he said, staring at her with unabashed admiration. No, I take it back. You're the most beautiful woman this side of Earth.
Thank you, Deirdre said, deftly removing his hand from her wrist.
I'm G. Maxwell Yeager. Don't ask what the G stands for. I'm your dinner partner.
G. Maxwell Yeager was almost as tall as the lanky Corvus and almost as wide across the shoulders as the cyborg Dorn. His face was stubbled with the beginnings of a dirty brown beard, and his hair, also sandy-colored, was a smoothly brushed mane that fell past his shoulders. He wore a rumpled khaki jumpsuit and an incongruous pair of shiny black cowboy boots, into which he had stuffed the legs of his coveralls. He appraised Deirdre with a look that was halfway between sheer admiration and a blatant leer. Reaching for her wrist again, he said,
Come on, let's go to dinner.
Deirdre backed away a step, and Dorn moved between them, grasping Yeager's extended arm with his prosthetic hand.
The lady is with us, he said.
Yeager stared at the cyborg for a moment, then shrugged nonchalantly and said,
Okay, okay. In that case, I'll join you.
With Dorn on one side of her and Andy Corvus on the other, Deirdre left the lounge and entered the adjacent dining room. Shaggy-haired Yeager kept in step with them, on Dorn's other side.
Hey, Max!
A younger coverall-clad man called to him.
I thought you were going to eat with us!
Yeager waved at him dismissively.
I found somebody better looking than you, ugly mugs!
Deirdre saw that the younger man was part of the raucous group that had been sitting together in the lounge.
Scoop ship team, Yeager explained to her. Engineers. You know what they say about engineers? So narrow-minded they can look through a keyhole with both eyes.
Andy giggled. Dorn remained impassive. Deirdre wondered why Yeager made fun of engineers.
I've heard about you. Yeager said to the cyborg. You're a priest or something, aren't you? Or something, Dorn muttered.
Deirdre felt Dorn's reticence like a palpable force. She said to Yeager, And what's your reason for going to Jupiter, Mr. Yeager?
It's Dr. Yeager, he replied, drawing himself up haughtily. Doctor of Engineering Physics, University of Arizona.
Then he grinned at her.
But you can call me Max. Hi, Max, Corvus said good-naturedly from Deirdre's other side. I'm Andy.
Yeager hadn't taken his eyes off Deirdre.
and pray to